This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Welcome to another episode of the Out of Bounds podcast. My name is Adam Jabber, and I am your host. And we've got an awesome episode today for you with Courtney DiFiore from Killington and Pico Resort. We kind of talked through what opening weekend was like, which was this past weekend, I believe November 19th, I want to say, this past Friday. So we kind of talked through what it looked like, what was different, you know, than years past, and kind of just get a sense of what the vibe was. We also chat about their parking reservation system and what that'll look like for at least Killington and what I imagine it'll look like for some of the other resorts on Icon. We'll probably use a similar format. We talk about uphill policies at both resorts. We talk about all kinds of things, what the distancing protocols look like, how busy the mountain was. So that's something that you definitely want to listen into. And then kind of just ways to plan, especially with the travel restrictions that are currently in place. I thought Courtney gave a lot of good information that is available elsewhere, but she kind of like talked it through in a very coherent manner. I apologize a couple times when my Wi-Fi cuts out, but that's the world we live in right now. And that's kind of like what we have to deal with. So it is what it is. Before we jump into the episode, I just wanted to say a quick thank you to a couple of sponsors. First of all, thank you to Pearl Wax. Pearl Wax has been a sponsor since last year. They're back again for this year. They are a phenomenal brand to give your wax business to. They are involved with 1% for the planet. They are a Colorado company. There is no fluoros in any of their wax. No toxic chemicals. And as always, no hype. You can tell I'm just reading right off the website here. In all seriousness, their stuff is awesome. I use the purple stuff because that's like the all temp one for most things. There's also like the blue, which is the cold brick, which hopefully we'll be needing sooner than later. The yellow is the like the warm one. And then they make a whole bunch of different product. They also have some new organic wax or all natural wax, rather. Comes in some really neat packaging. And they kind of go through the details of like what's different about this stuff versus the other stuff. I mean, it's soy free. It's biodegradable. I mean, the stuff is excellent. It's totally plant-based. It's kind of the gist. So if you want to support a company that actually cares about the environment, and that cares about the show, Pearl Wax is kind of the one to go with. You can go to www.pearlwax.com and use promo code OUTOFBOUNDS, all caps, to save 20% on your first purchase. For those of you prepping to start your ski season or your snowboard season, it's the way to do it. So, thank you to those guys. They've always been great to us. And once again, it's promo code OUTOFBOUNDS, all caps. And I also wanted to say a quick thank you to a new sponsor, which is Jewelbo Eyewear. They make some excellent product. I've been using their glasses all summer for mountain biking, and now I just got a pair of the Furies for like, that'll kind of be like my go-to glass for like when I'm just like skinning uphill. It's super breathable. Ventilation is excellent and it offers good protection overall, and it's styling. It also has like this reactive lens that they use. So it goes basically from fully clear to a pretty dark tint. It's a photochromatic lens. It's not new technology necessarily, but the way that they do it makes it work really, really well. So that's a huge, huge win for me. I posted them on my Instagram story yesterday. These guys have been awesome. They also make a bunch of goggles and we'll talk about those kind of as we get down the line here. I would definitely urge you to check out their website. There's no promo code, but just go to julbo.com. It's julbo.com, and you can check out some of what they have to offer. That's it for now. Please remember to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. If you listen there, it helps a ton, helps people find the show, and we want to keep doing this as much as we can. And yeah, that's basically it. If you guys have questions about anything that we've talked about, feel free to hit the contact us button on the website. There's a bunch of new stuff that's out there now. A couple new articles, some gift ideas for people if you're looking for like holiday ideas for your significant other or for a family member or whatever. So, very cool. A lot of stuff will be coming on the website as well as we start to update it more and more and more. Very cool. Without further ado, Courtney DiFiore from Killington Mountain. Thanks. Courtney, tell people who you are and a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
All right. I am Courtney DiFiore. I work at Killington and Pico as the communications and social media manager. I tend to snowboard, though I did grow up skiing. So I guess you could say I do both, but you'll pretty much find me standing sideways almost every time I'm out on the hill. And that's pretty much what I love to do outside of work. I'm outside doing something active. So it's pretty much ingrained in me to be working somewhere in the outdoor industry. And so this is where I landed.
Awesome. Well, I've got a lot of questions about Killington and opening weekend and all things COVID related and prep related. But first, I kind of wanted to know, like, how did you get into this gig? Like, is this a gig that you wanted, or were you just like, okay, cool, like, this is where I'm at? Like, how does this happen, I guess? Do you look for a job in communications, like, at a mountain? Like, I don't know what this entails at all.
Yeah, no, that is a great question, especially for those who are looking to do this kind of stuff. I mean, right. Yes, this is a dream job for me. I've said it since I started, and I still say it. Like, I sometimes pinch myself that they picked me. Like, I got it. I've wanted this position for so long. But the thing is, they don't come around all that often.
Right.
Or at least I don't think so. I mean, it's just not something that gets turned over all that frequently. So, and there's one, you know, each resort. So, like, that you got one spot to fill. So, for me, yes, I've wanted this for a long time. And I moved to Vermont in 2012 and was working at other resorts, basically trying to get into a position like this, but it wasn't working. And Killington was kind of always at the top for me. Like, I really want to work for Killington. They always have these great videos that they put out, and they just seem like, I love the culture and they're, I don't know, just the way they like speak, you know, like online and whatnot, the beast, you know, it's just kind of cool. So anyway, I very much wanted this job and I got really lucky, I would say, to get it. It was very like serendipitous, I suppose. Like, it just kind of happened. I was happy in my current position that I was in prior to Killington, and everything was going fine. And it was a PR position, so it was like in the role that I wanted to be in, just not in the ski industry. And so I just happened to see something pop up online that another position in their marketing team was open, not a position I would necessarily want. And actually, like, it would be a downgrade from the position I had, but it being Killington, I reached out to the one person I knew that worked at Killington, and I was like, hey, like, any info on this position, like, what the culture's like working there? Like, I know it would be kind of like a step down, but I really want to be, like, I want to get into Killington. So Right. Should I, do you have any info? And it just so happened that he responded back and was like, well, the position that, you know, you would actually want and fit well in and is basically what you're doing now is about to be posted today. So maybe hold for a minute and apply for that one. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay. So I literally, it went up and I applied like seconds later, ready to like go with a cover letter and resume and everything. And so from there, things happened quickly. Got a few interviews and then got hired.
Awesome. What is your job exactly? Like, what does that mean? Like, I know PR and like social media managing, like what does that mean? Like, what does your day-to-day look like?
Well, it definitely looks similar yet different, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I guess.
I manage essentially all of our media inquiries. You know, if you see us in the newspaper, online in an article, on the news, those requests, basically I facilitated those, whether I did the interview or Mike, our president and general manager, did the interview, those requests come through me. So even if like a press outlet needs photos, I'll get them some photos. And then, so that's kind of like the media world. But you're also, you know, hosting people to come in. So anytime we're working with an influencer or something, for instance, which is kind of in the world of media relations, there's that as well. And then as far as social media, that's kind of self-explanatory. I manage all of our social accounts. So that means scheduling, posting, responding to people, and all that goes with social. And so that is for Killington and Pico.
Got it. How do you deal with like the commenting on social media thing. Like, this is like your job, right? Is like responding to, like, and like posting stuff on Killington Social. And like, there is like no end in sight for like the amount of trolls that are going to be created on the internet. Like, how do you manage like dealing with, I guess, not just the bad ones, but the good ones too? Like, how do you like, how much stock do you take when somebody's like, I hate this or I love this?
Well, luckily, I will say I have a lot of experience with this, so it comes a little bit easier now for me. But I mean, number one, I'm always going to be respectful online. I mean, it just goes without saying, like, you have to be. And I'm representing a business, a brand, whatever it is when I'm working, not me.
Right.
So when I'm reading these things, though, it's pretty clear that I have a passion for Killington and just love this mountain and the sport in general. So, you know, I understand that sometimes it's hard to not take it personally, but at the end of the day, I know they're not speaking to me. They're just speaking to the resort, you know, I guess in a way. And so I take a breath sometimes when I'm having maybe a tough day and I give myself a moment before I respond. And I kid you not, I probably read my responses over like 3 to 5 times before hitting send, just to make sure I have sent something back that is A, informative, make them know that like I'm listening, we're here, we appreciate, you know, your thoughts, those kinds of things. Like, I just want to make sure it's good. Most of the time it's easy to respond back, but you know, as life goes, people have other things they're dealing with. So sometimes you bring other things into work or you just had a frustrating moment or something. Those are the times when I just take a breath because I need to realize this is just a little tiny piece of my day and it's everything's gonna be fine. So I just take a minute before I respond. I find that if anyone else is out there is listening that does social media, this is my little tip of advice. I find that most of the time people just want to be heard when they're complaining. So if, you know, if we're talking about the negative comments, it just kind of seems like they just want to know that we know that they're angry. And so I let them know that I'm aware. I understand why you're upset, or I hear the frustration, I get it, and then go on to answer their question, however the answer is, I guess. But that seems to help.
Yeah. What do you think? There's a lot of these brands now that are like taking a different approach where they're like, and you see it, I think, mostly with sports teams, but I've seen it a little bit with some mountain PR people where they're like, they'll just go to straight roasting people that are just trolling them online. And that seems to be getting a lot of traction because like it gets a lot of Twitter likes, obviously, when like a resort is like just clapping back at like a random troll. That approach just seems to be like, it just seems to be trending, I guess, at this point. So it's the first thing I think of when somebody's like, yeah, I try to like think about it and like actually like have a coherent response. Like, and then you got everybody else is just like, yeah, it's bizarre.
Well, it is so easy to do that. And the thing is, I will say, a lot of our guests, I would say, or fans, or, you know, whoever is online, sometimes they will kind of do that for us before we even get a chance to respond. You know, they're there. But I would say the reason I'm not going to do that is because, well, A, I want to foster, like, good, positive engagement, you know, on the channel, like a conversation that's positive and gonna go somewhere, you know, and instead of, I don't know, ending it or meeting it with further frustration. Like, I want to turn their day around if I can.
Right.
It's not always possible, but I would love to. So yes, I've seen that as well, but you won't see that here.
Okay. Good on you. I think that's the right approach. It's not something I'm not that like level-headed. So like, I don't think I'm ever able to do that, but I appreciate that you are. All right. I have a lot of questions about COVID stuff and about like how the mountain is operating. So if people are not interested in hearing any more about COVID, I'm sorry. But it's worth talking about right now because obviously it's so prevalent. What kind of steps has Killington taken, and Pico for that matter, to kind of ensure the safety of guests, I guess, at this point?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things. Pico won't open until December, so the benefit of that is that we'll have everything dialed
by that time,
by the time that opens, because we are figuring that out here. And I will also say that we've had the benefit of operating all summer long at Killington. So we've done a good job during the summer, and all those lessons learned we took as we created our scalable, flexible plans for winter. And as always, we work with the state and local authorities to make sure we're following guidelines and doing all that we can. So that's really helped us kind of set the stage. And when we opened, we were very conservative with our approach. We still are. We're still early season, first weekend. And the reason we took the conservative approach is so that we can figure out what's working and what's not. I mean, you can prepare all you want, but until people are actually here and everything's running, you're not going to fully know if it's a go. You know what I mean? If everything's working as planned. So that's why we did that. And so some of the tangible things that we did were strictly enforcing the facial covering policy, having your face mask on, and our parking reservation system helps us manage the number of people on resort at any time. We also adjusted some of our pass products and tickets to also manage those numbers. And of course, we're encouraging all of our guests before visiting, whether you're a Vermont resident or not, just to look at the Vermont guidelines, because if you're traveling in and out of Vermont, the state has its own guidelines for quarantining and all those things. So that's also enforced. And then we have contact tracing through our RFID card system and within our base lodges as well. And then physical distancing protocols are happening. So, I mean, you gotta be far away from people, right? And so we've adjusted, for instance, the mazes that lead up to our lifts. They're definitely gonna be different this year. And that allows for those bubbles in between lines, the 6 feet. And then once you're in the line, obviously distance yourself there. So we also have daily health assessments that our staff does. In addition, we're making all of our third party vendors and other people coming on site. So like media that I work with, they fill out those assessments as well to make sure that everyone coming on resort is in good health, no symptoms, etc. And we've increased our sanitation stations and the frequency that we clean pretty much everything around the resort. So those are a few of those things that we're doing.
So one of the things that I kind of want to like mention is like for everybody listening, just be aware that this is how many things like a resort has to do in order to like maintain safe operation at this point. So like when I talked to Jamie Storrs like a few months ago, his thing was like the key this season is going to be like patience and understanding. And I think that's still translates now, even though like you guys seem to have it pretty dialed for like what you want to do. Like there's still going to be a lot of things I think that people need to deal with that are just different than before, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you've ever worked at a resort or had a kind of behind the scenes look at how a resort operates outside of a COVID situation. Yeah, right. I mean, in a normal year, operating a resort, a lot goes into it. Safety is always a concern. There's so many things that are put in place, so many policies that are put in place and things to do to make sure people have a safe experience and a fun experience while they're on resort. And that's in a normal year. So when you put on top of that, all these other, you know, tasks that have to get done, it is a lot. But again, as you can see, it's something that we're willing to do and will do because we know what the result is. The result is being open and staying open. I think everybody wants, you know, which is why we say and remind people, we're not just doing this just to do it. There's always a reason. It's for your benefits, for your health, our health, and then the health of the season. I mean, nobody wants it to shut down, right? So
no, and I think everyone wants to do that. Yeah, I think everybody, like the thought going into the season, you heard a lot of people going like, oh, we're outside, like skiing should be easy to do because it's outside. Like, and it's just like, there's so many more things that we all know go into it, but like, it's not the first thing you think of as a skier, like as a customer of a resort. You just think of the actual, like the physical act of skiing as what you do in a day. But then you realize like, okay, I use the lodge. I go to the restaurant. I go and I use the bathrooms. And like, I'm on top of everybody. And like, there's so many different parts to it that have to get addressed as well. Not just the like I've heard the argument that like, oh, my skis are 3 feet in front of me. The person in front of me is 3 feet. Like that makes 6 feet. We should have no problem. And I'm just like, it's more than just that. And we know this, right? Like it's just like, I think hearing it is important for people sometimes. A couple things I had that I've heard a lot of confusion, both in my shop and in like just from people DMing me on the podcast and messaging me, is like the parking situation. What does that look like as far as parking reservations? And I know you guys aren't doing regular ticket reservations. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
So why the choice to go to parking reservations, and what does that look like right now?
So the reason we opted for parking reservations as opposed to a ticket reservation, right off the bat, just thinking about somebody's experience when they're coming to the mountain, let's just say we were doing ticket reservations instead. They get to the resort, they park. It's a family. They lug all their kids out with all their gear up to the ticket window. Their kids are dressed, ready to go. They go to get tickets, and they can't get any. That's a terrible way to start your day, a bad experience, and we don't want anyone to, you know, feel like that. So the thought there is, don't even give them access yet, you know, to the mountain to have that bad experience if we're not going to have tickets for them. So that's why we kind of shifted it back to say, well, what's the first touch point? And that's parking. So instead, by doing the parking reservation, number one, you won't have that experience. You'll know ahead of time if you're able to come. You won't have to make that trip, get in the car, lug everything, and do all that. Second, it's just a bit easier for us to figure out kind of what we can, capacity levels, what they are, and what we can manage, and keep that manageable and make sure we're hitting those numbers. Like I said in the beginning, we're taking a conservative approach. So based on all this data from past seasons that we've got from RFID scans and other ways of collecting data, we know a good range, or, you know, a rough range of what we can handle each day of the season, whether it's a holiday, a weekend, a midweek, whatever. So we are then uploading inventory to make sure that we don't go over that, allotting for the fact that some people will carpool, some people will take public transportation, some people will be already on resort at our lodging, et cetera. So like we've looked at all of that. So we just feel like parking reservations are the best way for us to make sure we're maintaining the right capacity levels. Because it also depends on the train we have too. So that's factored in as well. Like right. Early season, the capacity is not going to be quite as much as later in the season when we're fully open. So, you know, you can't have the same amount of, you know, parking inventory early season as you're going to have later on in the season.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So that's kind of the reasoning behind it. And diving into how that works, it's a pretty slick process. This is, you know, Parkwiz app is something you can download and use. It's a well-established app that people, some of our guests already use, in fact. So far, it's gone pretty smoothly. I mean, I have to go through it every day to get to work, and I zoom right through. I mean, I get scanned. It's not like I cut through. I actually go through.
Yeah, you got to be careful there.
Yeah, just to be clear, I scan and go through, and it's a very seamless process for me. And it seems to be pretty seamless for our guests as well. You can make a reservation on our website, or you can use the Parkwiz app. If you need to cancel for whatever reason, you could do that easily through the app. If it's the morning of, for instance, somebody today wanted to cancel because they couldn't make it or something, you know, this morning, you could go in and cancel your reservation for parking. And we do advise that because, number one, it frees up a spot for somebody else. But number two, if you continue to make reservations and then cancel if you make a reservation and then don't show up and don't cancel and continue to do that and basically abuse the system, you'll get flagged and you could, you know, have repercussions for that, because we want to make sure everybody's getting out on the mountain that wants to get on the mountain. So we do have those things in place as well for anybody who's worried. Once you make that reservation, you come in, you can't miss it. There's people there scanning, you go through, and that's about it. Once you get on a resort, so early season, that's a little different. We only have pretty much one parking lot that everybody's going into, which is K1, because that's where all of the current lifts that are running are accessible. But as we move into the season, once you get through the scanners, you can go to any lot you choose. When you're making a parking reservation, you're not making it for a specific lot. You're just making it in general to gain access to the resort.
Got it.
So if you want to go to a specific lot, you can do that. And there will be digital signage that updates in real time to tell you if there are spots left in that that lot.
Got it. Okay.
So once you get through the scanning system and you're on resort, say you're going past Vail Lots on your way up toward Killington, toward K1 Lodge, you'll see these signs that tell you if there's spaces left and how many in each parking lot. And it's through just like sensors. So it's doing it for us.
Got it. That's actually, I appreciate you answering it like that, because I think that's one of the main concerns people have is like, okay, what does any of this mean? How am I going to get spots? Like, what, like, how am I going to know they're full? Like, do I have to go into a specific parking spot? You know, like, there's a lot of these kind of questions that I think people just need to hear talked out, you know, like it's really yeah. nice that it's, and I think the website does a good job of like organizing how it's laid out. But for a lot of people, myself included, like hearing it explained verbally is definitely a better route, I think. One of the things that I've heard a lot of people talking about is like what it's going to look like as far as capacity on the hill. Like, so everybody's like, oh, they're on one side or the other, it seems like, where people are like, okay, the resort's going to be super busy this year because everybody wants to go outside. But then other people are like, the resort's not going to be super busy because they're limiting capacities, you know, based on a certain number and based on the available terrain. What do you think it's going to look like this season as far as people's ability to actually go out there and not be on top of each other when they're making turns? Because that's like one of the things that people have been concerned about with the Vail system is like you go on there and you're trying to book a day and like you're waiting in a line of 100,000 people to book a day. That's concerning, I think, because people are like, okay, I bought this pass and now I'm going to be like waiting in line to go potentially wait in line at a ski lift, you know, like it's double the amount of waiting potentially. But what do you think it's going to look like, I guess, overall?
Well, based on the first few days of operation we've had so far, so it being Monday, we've had 3 days of operation. This is day 4 for us. So based on what I've seen this weekend, I think it's going to look open, I guess, is a good way to put it. I mean, there's definitely going to be space
right.
to go ski and ride with that needed space around you. I don't foresee it being crowded based on what I've seen already. I mean, and that's why, I mean, that's why we have the capacity limits in place.
Right.
So that it doesn't get overrun and cause issues, because that just can't happen.
It's the opposite of the goal with this.
Yeah. So more people than what a 6-foot distance between each other would allot. I really can't say what that's going to look like. I mean, I would hope it would look similar to what we had opening weekend. And we did not reach capacity these past 3 days. So, you know, that's me looking at it, knowing that we didn't even reach the top number. You know, we didn't have to turn people away yet because we didn't hit the number, you know, that was too much. And we had enough terrain that we could host everybody who wanted to come. So after that, when we get into those busier times, I would imagine it would still be pretty open, because once we hit a certain limit, it's just, we're going to stop allowing guests, you know, right. come for that day, because it is what it is. We need to make sure all those procedures can still be in place. All that distance can happen.
Right. And I imagine kind of the same thing, right? Like, I think that's probably going to be the story this year is like, yeah, like if you can get a spot on a pow day, like, and you can go skiing that day, like there'll probably be less overall people on the hill than on a normal pow day. Like, especially like, I mean, weekends. I'm not like, for me, at least personally, that's not like a super big concern, because I wouldn't dare ski on a weekend day anyway. But like for most people, that's when they're going out. So I guess they're just concerned about, I guess, the overall volume, because there are a lot of people that like haven't skied before that are like, this is the year I want to just go do something outside. Like, we're starting to see that actually creep up to higher numbers than like I was expecting. The opposite, to be honest. Like, I was expecting a lot of people to want to walk uphill, but not a lot of people wanting to go out there like with their family that haven't gone in a while. But I'm starting to see kind of the opposite effect, where people are like, just like with bike over the summer, people are like, I want to get outside. I don't care how it happens. I need to find something to do outside. So I think that'll be good information for people to hear.
I think we also...
Go ahead.
Sorry. I think we also just have to consider that there are a number of people who are choosing not to really ski or ride this season that normally would. Mm. And I can just speak to that because I've seen the comments on our social. I respond to the messages and people with concerns. And so I do know that there is a number of people that have decided they're just going to wait till next season. They're going to ride it out, do something else, maybe find another hobby. I don't know. But some people are not going to travel here for, or wherever their hill is, for riding and skiing this year. So there's also, you have to consider that as well. Like if there's an influx of people who are new to the sport and want to try it, there's also those people who are, you know, veterans, if you will, seasoned skiers and riders that will not be here. So that's why it's so hard to say like what it's going to look like, and why we have all these actions in place to make sure that it doesn't fill up and get too many people on the hill at once, you know?
Yeah. And I had said this in my initial email, I think like you guys are kind of being used as an example of like what's going to happen because you're one of the first open and you're the first major resort in New England, I think, to open. Is that's correct, right? I think so. At major in the grand scheme of I mean, Wachusett opened the same day, but like we're not counting, no offense, yeah. Wachusett, but I'm not counting Wachusett right now.
Definitely the first in Vermont.
Yeah, definitely the first in Vermont.
Vermont will be looking at us.
One of the things, the main thing I think that I've heard, at least in, being in Massachusetts and having a lot of friends in New Jersey, New York, like Maine, is the travel ban. What does that mean exactly for you guys? Are you guys concerned about the ban overall, like for overall business? Because like you hear both sides of it, right? Where it's like the resort side is like, look, we need to do what the governor says we need to do. Like this is the regulation put in place. It's safer and it's hopefully going to allow us to have a better season. But there's also like people in Vermont even that are like, okay, this is a big part of our business. That's not that, you know, people may not be coming up here. Like what does that look like? What does the restriction currently look like? Can you kind of talk people through that?
Yeah. So first off, I would say the first thing, anyone wanting information on this should go to vermont.org. Go look at their site. We do have links to it and we do update our website to make sure we have those guidelines, but they're consistently updating it if there's any changes, the state is. So I always say, here's a link. Like we suggest bookmarking this and checking it anytime you plan to make a visit because regulations will change, you know, you would think. And they'll have it updated. So that's number one. Just make sure to look at it and check back. So currently, as it stands, there's quarantines in place. So there's a 7-day quarantine with a negative test. That means come day 7, you can get a COVID test and then wait for the results, staying in your quarantine until you get those results. If it's a negative, then you can come to Vermont in your personal vehicle. Or you can do a 14-day quarantine, no tests needed, and then come directly to the state in your personal vehicle. And then there's other details outside of that. If you're not taking a personal vehicle, if you're carpooling with other people, et cetera. So all those details are on the site. So that's kind of like, I guess, the gist of what that is here in Vermont. And the thing is, this has been in place, I mean, all summer, you know, we had travel restrictions. This isn't anything new. Anyway, for us, you know, we knew that this was in place and that this was going to pretty much stay in place. So as we should, we are encouraging all of our guests to follow it. And I know that people are frustrated, but really the whole point of it is to keep everyone safe. I mean, those that are in the state, those that are traveling to the state, those working, I mean, everybody involved is benefiting from this. I mean, it's a in as far as well-being. When it comes to, you know, the business, I know that people are saying, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do if people aren't coming to the resort? But people can still come to the resort, and there have been people who have been quarantining and doing that, and following those standards and coming to visit and ski and riding from out of state that have followed those regulations, and they're able to do so. So it's not impossible. There's just a few extra steps you have to take. And I realize that for some, it's really hard for them to actually fulfill those needs. And so to them, it's like, you know, I can't come and travel. But there are some that all of our respect the guidelines that are in place. And not just that, but when you're on resort, respecting our policies as well, like the mask, for instance. It would be really nice if, you know, our employees didn't have to remind guests to pull up their mask. Like, just have it there.
That's the most annoying thing to me too. Like on a personal level, it's like, just do it. Like, it's not that hard. Like, it's the simplest thing that you can do as a consumer and as like someone who's sharing space with other people, even if you don't care about it, like, you know, like other people care about it. So have a little empathy in that regard and just wear it correctly, like put it on your face and like move on. Like it shouldn't be this difficult. And I think people have been better over the last like 3 to 4 weeks. Like you've started to see people actually like, at least I have like on the, like I haven't asked anybody in a while to put their mask on correctly. Versus like in the summer, I'm like, okay, like it being on your neck doesn't help. Like, and it being on, I literally saw someone wearing it as a hat and I'm like, okay, this does not count. I don't know why you have to be a 5-year-old about it, but like it is what it is, I guess.
That's definitely one of those things that we don't want to have to remind guests, but I mean, we do when needed. But the key to this year, I think, is communicating, which is basically where I excel because that's my whole job is to communicate. So, so that's the biggest thing. I mean, just educating guests, staff, the community on what they need to know and getting that information out there. And you'll notice that some of these same messages we're saying over and over again. And we will continue to repeat these same messages because they're very important. And it one of the easiest things we can do as a resort to help is to make sure the message is out there and to keep reiterating it. So, and to set a good example.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things you mentioned too, like people do have the ability rather to quarantine for 7 days and then get a negative test at home. They don't have to go to Vermont. Quarantine in Vermont for like that's the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish, and I think a lot of people kind of got confused by what that meant. Like they can go to Vermont and they have to stay in a hotel room for 7 days. Like it's not really, it doesn't work like that. You can quarantine at home, then come to Vermont. So like if people are working from home, there is an ability to plan that into what you're doing, I guess.
Yeah, and that's why I advise everyone to go to the state's website because they have all those details laid out.
Right.
And it is different depending on how you plan to travel here. You know, I understand that not everybody might have their own vehicle. They might be using public transit. They might be carpooling. And all those details are there. And like I said, too, as we move forward, they could be updated. And that's, again, why I'm saying bookmark it, check it. That way you're up to date on the most current information and you can make sure you're, you know, following what you need to do and being responsible.
Yeah, and I'll link to that stuff in the show notes. Like, but as we know, like most people, I think, get their information from like their buddy telling them from their buddy who told them, and then by the time it gets to them, it's like this like hodgepodge of information that's like a mix of truth and then just made up stuff. So it's will be nice to like have a and there has been a place for people to go and get the real information. So we are just trying to create a new way for people to like have the information correctly in front of them. Like, and not have to go and actually do some reading on their own. So,
there's nothing like telephone happening. And then, you know, that'll.
Sorry, I just lost you for a second. All right. Last thing, because it's been a hot topic this year, obviously, Killington does not allow uphill travel, correct? Pico traditionally does. Is that still going to be a thing as far as you can tell? No.
Allow uphill travel at both mountains.
you will or you don't?
We do.
Okay, cool. Sorry.
So, yeah. So both mountains have uphill travel available. Currently at Killington right now, uphill travel is not permitted yet because our uphill travel designated routes, they're just not open and available yet. You'll see, we do have a page for uphill travel and it shows you what the designated routes are and how to go about that. We do have an uphill travel pass. It is free if you already are a pass holder. If it's not, I think the charge is $25, maybe 30. I'd have to look, but yeah. Somewhere around there, ballpark, would be the cost if you didn't already have a pass with us. And all the details are there. So we do offer it. We have a pretty, I would say, strong uphill travel community in the area, especially over at Pico. I mean, it's like a, I don't know how you would describe it over there, but it's definitely its own thing. There's so many people that
I guess that's why I thought that too, is because like people, that's a thing. Like people go there to go uphill a lot. Like you see it almost every time you go skiing there. So
yes, absolutely. The same thing over at, it's basically the same policy, both at Killington and at Pico. So once we're able to open those uphill travel routes, it'll be open and
plan is to continue ready to that. Go. Yeah. Same as a normal year.
Yeah. Same as normal. Yep.
Okay. Perfect. Awesome. That's all I have for you. So I appreciate you taking the time and kind of explaining things out to me and to people listening.
Yeah, no problem. I hope it was helpful. I feel like sometimes I might've been rambling, but, as long as I get the information across, I guess that's the point, right?
Yeah. That was episode number 127 with Courtney DiFiore from Killington Mountain and Pico Mountain. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please let me know if you have any questions. If you want to go skiing, you can let me know that too. I'm going to start skiing hopefully this week. So we'll make some turns this season and hit me up. Next we have, I believe it's going to be Andrew Drummond. So we'll talk to you guys then and sayonara. Bye.